We made it. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. It's Bet Sweat here on the BetMGM Network. NFL here tonight. We will preview Survivor, tonight's season opener, 20 minutes from right now. Some other awards we did not get to. Cannot wait for the debut of 10 Toes Down, 11 a.m. Eastern, a new segment on the show. Hopefully it sticks. I think it will. Shay and Irving will drop by. Ian Harditz on some fantasy looks. And also our buddy John Murray from the Superbook in Vegas. Sam, I don't know about you, couldn't sleep. Were you able to sleep all right?
No, but for different reasons. I'm ready to go, though. I woke up 6:45, got in the shower, went down, had some breakfast, walked to work. Big mistake, because it is hot and humid here in the garbage-filled streets of New York. Different topic for a different day, perhaps. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for football. I'm signed up for all my contests. I think I have all my Survivor picks ready. I think I have all my college football contest picks. We got a text, by the way, before the show. Hey, do you guys know of any Survivor pools I can join? Yes. Yes, I do. Joe's got two for you.
Who texted that? Was that sent to me, too?
No. Just a buddy of mine. But then we also got a tweet about it from Tecmo. Tecmo tweeted, hey, does anybody have any Survivor leagues? I said, Tecmo must not listen to the show close enough because that's all Joe talks about.
All right, I think I'm done. We will do a Survivor segment coming up. I know what I like. I haven't entered all the picks, which I've decided to make it a chore. Okay, so college football, you did one contest, one Survivor. Is that correct? Oh, boy. We can't lose the mic today. We lost your mic. Oh, no. Come on.
What?
Not
I'm here.
Today.
I'm right here.
Oh, there we go. Oh, you were speaking, and I wasn't hearing anything for a moment. Now you're good. Okay.
Two college pick sevens and then three circus survivors.
Okay. I'm done. No more. Two college football survivors, two NFL ATS contests, one of the survivors in college we're both in. One of the NFL ATS pools we're both in. I entered 10 survivor pools.
Only 10?
Only 10. Different ones is what I'm saying. Not like 10 entries. Like 10 different ones. I cannot wait till I'm out in a month. Because now it's like a pain in my ass. And I'm like, wait, I got to check on my picks. Do I have too much of this team to cover the board? If we have an upset here, am I going to be knocked out and everything? Now I'm mad at myself, but whatever. Zero fantasy football teams. You still with one?
Yeah, I've got the one. That's it. The other league, there's a combustible issue between the commissioner and his best friend. The one thinks the other one is trying to screw the other one over. So I don't even know if they're friends anymore, and the league is definitely dead.
Over how much money?
Oh, I don't even know. I think it was – well, I guess the playoff pot was $500 to the winner last year, and they haven't gotten past that. I guess that's the amount. I don't know because I think the guy who came in second thought that he should have come in first, and there's this whole thing. I always laughed when I heard that fantasy football would ruin a friendship because it should never be that serious. This fantasy league has ruined a friendship, and I don't think it's going to move on.
Yeah, it's usually not worth that much money. It's just not worth the aggravation. Yeah, I've realized it's best to walk away. I was thinking about getting back in, but I am not back in the game. That's been my decision, at least for this upcoming season. Man, there's so many angles to this, a lot to discuss, and we'll hit it all. We're 157 days away from the Super Bowl. 5 months, family, I'll see you later. And as far as I'm concerned, I know Jake will disagree with this, but you know, looking at the card for college football as well, we've got a bunch of games on Friday. We have an NFL game on Friday, in addition to what goes down tonight. And of course, then the weekend is just going to be wild. For me, the baseball regular season is over. I don't know about you. Let's talk. Let's reconvene in the playoffs. I hope the Texas Rangers go on a run and they can make their way in. Can't wait to talk about the matchups. But for me, I'm good on the regular season. I'm guessing some Red Sox fans near where you live are kind of not too pleased right now because Roman Anthony's going to miss at least a month. But regular season baseball, sorry, don't have time for you.
If you said I'll give you $1,000 to name one final score from yesterday, I couldn't do it in baseball.
Couldn't.
Not a chance. Right. Not a chance.
Yep. Here's the other thing as the Super Bowl predictions are rolling in. And, you know, I didn't even seek it out much. It's just, it's finding my feed. It's finding me, whether it's through friends, through media outlets, through clips that are making the rounds. Everybody's on the Packers. Everybody. I thought that they would get bet. We knew they would get bet. We knew that number would crash, and at some places they became the favorite in the NFC North. The Super Bowl odds, of course, dip. Same thing with the NFC. But now it's everywhere. Now they're winning the Super Bowl because they added Micah Parsons to this roster, and it looks like he's good to go. Week number one, that's going to be a great game to get things started, especially in the NFC North and the implications there. But it feels like the masses have decided it is now time for Green Bay, and LaFleur is going to be a Super Bowl winning coach.
We didn't even hear this last week when the trade happened. That's the craziest part. Mm-hmm. When he got traded there, there was this overreaction. Green Bay became the favorite at most books to win the NFC North, and they were slid way up to win the NFC. But on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I didn't hear any of this. And now we get to Wednesday, Thursday, and it's cheese, Packers, frozen tundra, Micah Parsons. I don't know why this was so delayed, not only in the week one line where people are betting against Dallas, but this infatuation now with the Green Bay Packers to make the Super Bowl. I heard it from Nate Collins yesterday. You know, he went Packers Patriots, which was also the first time I've heard a matchup like that, which is fine. That's your prediction. You live with it. But now it's you read an article, you turn the radio on, mm-hmm. you listen to whatever podcast you want. Green Bay is suddenly the darling to make the Super Bowl. And I don't get it. I'm not there. Well, I get it. I'm not there, though, personally. Are you?
No, I'm not there. And you're talking to someone that liked the Packers in the offseason. As I think most people are trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this North? And you decided long ago that you're on the Vikings. Not so much that they're the division winner, but you like them overall in the season, win total to make the playoffs. And, you know, as I worked my way through it, I'm not anti-Minnesota. I am lower on the market than the Detroit Lions, even though the market isn't as high as they were, say, a year ago. I'm still lower on the Lions there, and I landed on the Packers to be my pick to win the division, but I'm not making that leap from NFC North division winners to Super Bowl. I'm not making that leap at all, and I understood why the market moved. It's not just adding Parsons. It's the questions that I have for a lot of the teams that are in the top of the NFC, and I think maybe some people had those same questions. Maybe they're sick of seeing Detroit disappoint, and they're worried about the coordinators and Ragnar, you know, this and that, the changes that are going to go on there, if they're going to be as good as they were in the regular season over the last couple of years, a tougher schedule, all that stuff. Regression, is it coming for Washington? Can Baker do this again? Another situation with the coaching. Like, we can go up and down the list, and there are question marks. There's no team without holes in the NFC. And then here the Packers make this move, get arguably the best pass rusher in the game. And I feel like it's easy for people to say, well, I couldn't make my decision on this conference. It's kind of up in the air. Could be almost anybody. All right, I'll just go with Green Bay. They got Parsons now. Now what am I going to say? Look at this elite pass rush that they've put together. I'm there. And it's funny because I don't think the masses have just made their decision on Jordan Love. I don't think most people have complete trust in that wide receiver room. But the Parsons move just kind of overtook all that.
Their offensive line was nothing special last year. and I was going to take the receiver point and drive that home. You started to bring it up. They couldn't catch passes last year for stretches. I mean, these are talented guys, but who's their legit receiver one? Is it Matthew Golden? Is he their best wide receiver? Christian Watson can't stay on the field. Just can't. It's not Romeo Doubs. Who's their number one receiver? That's what's crazy to me. Now, if they can figure that out and somebody ascends to be the legit wide receiver one, fine. And you don't need a legit alpha wide receiver one to make the Super Bowl, but it would certainly help. Because for all the love that's being thrown around the quarterback and all the love that's being thrown around the defense, how do you balance your offensive attack? You need to have one of these receivers raise his play. And I don't know who it is yet. I like Josh Jacobs a lot. I like Matt LaFleur a lot. And those teams generally in Green Bay under LaFleur have gotten better. But I'm just not there. I'm also not laying 2.5 with Green Bay in week one against Detroit. We're not going to get to 3, I don't think.
No.
But this number in the summer was pick 'em. And now we're Green Bay -2.5 at BetMGM week one.
Yeah, that's a bit much for me. If you're still allowed to play teasers, that seems like the one that really stands out. You take the dog in that teaser right there. That was interesting yesterday. Post-show, we were getting a lot of reaction to our conversation about teasers. And this is not some revelation. This is something that's been going on in Vegas for a number of years. They don't want you to bet teasers, but you could still do it offshore. You could do it throughout the country at a lot of legal books, depending what state you were in. And there were a number of books that would offer $1.20. -120, win 100. That was probably the limit. And that was viewed as a cheaper price. Now, of course, you can go offshore. Corby's like, hey, dark web is still here. He's right. Yeah, you can do that. But let's be real. The majority of our audience, probably not doing that. They have legalized books, and that's what they're going to use. Sports betting went to a different level when it became legalized throughout much of this country. But yeah, it was interesting yesterday post show as people check out the podcast, listen while they can throughout the day, watch it on YouTube, whatever, that people are like, yeah, man, this is getting bad. And I think we're here to say, don't bet teasers. I don't know if we're going to talk about them moving forward, because it's kind of us suggesting that you should play teasers at $1.50, $1.60. That's the price you're seeing at a lot of spots right now.
I was going crazy because a buddy of mine sent me a screenshot of a book charging him -148 on a two-team teaser, 6 points. Yep. You thought that was high. How about this message I got about -154, -160, and then we had this listener named Matt, Bet Rivers, -175 on a two-team teaser. That's disgusting. That is criminal. That is predatory. And people that are playing at Bet Rivers need to know that that is not okay. -175 is a travesty on a two-team teaser.
Just don't post it. If you don't want to take the action, don't post it, instead of trying to rob people blind. But that's what's happening. Instead of just saying we don't want to post it, hey, we post it just like everybody else. And the new thing, Sam, I don't know if you were pricing it yesterday, is it's not a flat juice, right? And what I mean by that, it's not, okay, if you want to play a teaser, it's going to be -120, -125, -135. The green book goes from -120 to -135 this football season. That's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing now is, well, it depends what the juice is on that side. And then it's gonna change. So I think that's interesting, and that's another way to rob people. Okay, we're gonna steal 10, 20 extra cents here because you decided to take a side that's at, I don't know, $1.15, $1.18 instead of $1.10.
I got another response yesterday to my teaser tweet. Well, it doesn't matter if it wins. Oh,
dude,
NFL hasn't even started yet. And we have to comb through this and hear from this. And that may have been tongue-in-cheek. That may have been a little facetious. Maybe this person was joking. But there are people out there that actually don't understand the math and think that you can constantly lay $1.50, $1.60, $1.70 on a teaser. Right. I still do them at -110. I have the ability to do -110. I would never even consider. Well, forget -170. I wouldn't even consider -130 on a teaser, let alone minus 150, 60, 70.
Nope. That's where we're at. As I was looking around yesterday, I can only speak for Illinois. I think there's one book, and it's a new book that I don't even use, that is offering $1.20. Of the other nine, nope, you're going to have to pay a lot more than that. So I'm not really interested. We'll keep you updated on that as well. All right, Thursday Night Football season opener, Cowboys-Eagles. How do we bet it? We talk about it next right here on BetSweats. Season opener tonight. I'm thinking the NFL is kind of pissed. That didn't even hit on me until today, Sam, and we're going to talk Survivor coming up in about 20 minutes as this line goes from 6.5, 7 all summer to now 8, 8.5, some offshores posting a 9. It is the largest point spread of the week. The NFL did not want the largest point spread of the week to be the season opener. I know people are going to watch no matter what, but I've got to think that Goodell was kind of pissed at what happened, because now, look, people are going to watch, but it loses a little bit of it. The conversation turns to, is this a blowout? Is this a Survivor play because they're the biggest favored, even though it's a divisional matchup that we get to start the season between the Eagles and Cowboys tonight?
I threw the Eagles out in my Survivor conversations, and I got immediate pushback, which is fine. A lot of people want to save the Eagles because the Eagles are one of the highest power-rated teams in the NFL. But also think about Thanksgiving week. Who plays on Black Friday? Eagles-Bears. So there's a lot of that. People want to save Philly for that eventual blowout, you would think, assuming everybody's healthy. The Eagles should win that game. I mean, the Eagles would be a massive favorite at home against the Bears. But I thought, yeah, let's go Philly. Let's get that first domino out of the way. Nope. Pushback on every front on Philly Survivor Week 1.
I get it, and we will talk about that coming up in about 15 minutes on our favorite Survivor plays of the week. But, yeah, the perception is it won't be all that competitive. And if we look at the betting market now, we are sitting here, let me move it back because I was looking at the team totals. We're sitting still 8, 8.5, correct?
Yeah, 8.5s are starting to come down, though. So what the books were doing, they were trying to push it as far as they could to see how much it would take to get some buyback. And we discussed yesterday there were some 9s in the market. The 9s are all gone. I don't see a single 9 on my screen. And now the 8.5s are becoming minus 105 to lay the favorite. So your 8.5 dog is now minus 115. 8.5 always felt like it was a little high, which I actually just told Chelsea and Jenks during Crosstalk. I said, that feels a little bit big at 8.5. Now, that's not to say that I'm in love with this Dallas side, but this number in the summer was 6.5 and maybe the occasional 7 scattered across the board. Then Parsons gets traded and we go to 7 everywhere and a couple 7.5s late last week. Suddenly, Monday, Tuesday, we're 8, 8.5, 9, and nothing changed. Nothing really changed. Now, Ed Sammons at the Westgate was saying that it's a lot to do with teasers because people had a really good run last year, especially in Vegas, making those 6-point teasers, teasing favorites down. I don't think we chronicled enough last year how great the favorites did ATS in the NFL. Well, if they were covering the number, they were certainly covering the teaser number when you move that 6 points down. So it finally felt like early this morning, you got that game day push. Limits are high. The 9s are gone. The 8.5s are coming back. I think this is going to close 8. Philly minus 8. That's my best guess.
Okay. So I think you're right that the market did kind of settle down. We were looking at a handful of 9s throughout the show yesterday, and that is coming back a little bit. But offshore, there are a couple of 9s at this moment if you are interested in taking plus 9. Joe O, Sammy P, this is BetSweats, BetMGM Network, and we are live on X. Typically not live on X in the first hour of the show, but we're changing things up. Expanded coverage today with the start of the NFL season. Make sure you're following the show on X, bet_sweats. Sam is at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. All right, total sitting 47 and a half. It means very little, but just out of curiosity, I started to look at these ever since the league started to try to get these big games together for the Thursday in week number one to get the season started, and lower scoring than expected in many of them, but a lot of them closer games. You'll remember last year, Kansas City wins by a touchdown over Baltimore 27-20. 2 years ago, big surprise. And, you know, that impacted Survivor a little bit. KC was favored by, I want to say it was around a touchdown, and Detroit pulls off the upset in week number one. Dan Campbell gets it done. That was a low-scoring affair, 21-20. A few years ago, there was a blowout, the Bills over the Rams. Also, remember very close the last time Dallas was in this game, Tampa Bay, Brady and company, 31-29. They were massive favorites in this game. So if the Cowboys were to hang and even cover the point spread, that would not be foreign to this game. Like we've seen in recent years where this is around a touchdown, maybe just north of a touchdown, and everybody's thinking favorite, 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 and then that dog is hanging around. I've talked a lot about how I expect Dak to have a big season. Statistically, that was before all the Parsons stuff, but that's not going to impact things tonight. I like the way Dak bounces back after injuries. I will say that in the last few season openers, he has come out of the gates very slow. Each of the last 3 years, he's thrown for well under 200 passing yards. So you wonder if he's going to have it coming out of the gates here. A new weapon in Pickens, that's going to be fun to watch. The Cowboys are going to be an over team. I'm just not sure they're going to be an over team in week number one.
There's a lot of questions I have about Dallas's defense, obviously. Hot take. Micah Parsons is gone. Can they get off the field on third and manageable? When it's third and four, third and five, can they get the stops? I don't know that answer yet. And anybody saying they do is lying. Because for years, they've had number 11, their superstar edge guy, who can do basically anything and line up anywhere. I'm inclined to think that they're going to struggle with that. I also think Dak might throw the ball 45 times today.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things sort of line up toward an over. I don't really get too crazy, though, with these week one total bets because there are a lot of question marks that I have. But you do notice now we're at 47.5 and 48. We have crossed through a very key 47 number. And that's money. It's money that has driven that through. So, look, at 47, I thought it was a decent bet. At 47.5, 48, I just don't like it as much. So the total's a pass for me. But those are the things I'll be watching for. I'll be very curious to see if the Dallas defense on third and five can get off the field. If they can't, this is probably a game where we see Philly control the rock and have the time of possession in their favor, like 38-22. It's very possible. Because if Dallas can't get off the field, Philly's going to lean on their bread and butter. Offensive line, run the ball. And if that's the case, we're talking about an under. But look, there's a lot of things I want to see tonight. Believe it or not, I am not loaded to the gills on Thursday Night Football. I haven't even made a bet yet on the game. Now, we'll get there by the end of the show. But to think that I'm just like guns blazing day one, game one, ain't happening.
Now you've got me thinking about Dak pass attempts, 36.5. Could very well get into the 40s. That would make a lot of sense with the potential game script of over a touchdown. On the Eagles side, I don't believe him for a second, but Nick Sirianni says he didn't know it was banner night. Oh, you win the Super Bowl. You have the parade. You have all offseason celebrating the Super Bowl victory. And you don't know that game number one. By the way, you're starting the season because you won the championship, Nick. Oh, you didn't know it was banner night. Don't care. We're not going to be out there. He says we're not going to be out there. Okay. Doesn't know it's ring night, banner night. You know, when we grew up, Sam, and Jordan's winning championships, this was a bet against spot. I'm not saying it's a bet against spot with the Eagles, but it is a thing. And sometimes players do get distracted a little bit, understandably so. Was it – Paul would know. They were getting booed after the last during the last banner night, right? They win the Super Bowl, they come back, we win, and they get booed because of the poor play. There he is.
Paul's got the Eagles hat locked and loaded.
Kelly Green, Eagles hat. I don't know if they're even wearing Kelly Green tonight. They should, though. Yeah, they definitely got booed. Was it because, I mean, it wasn't before the game, I don't think. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But yeah, we're on to, what year is it? 2025. But, which I think is stupid. Enjoy the game. But it is Dallas. Dallas goes up. It's going to be Boo Birds and Joe G tomorrow. I don't know about Nick Sirianni anymore. You know, last time they won a Super Bowl, the head coach was gone in 2 years. Can't wait.
Yeah.
It is crazy, though, how the narrative has changed on the coaching staff. Because this time last year,
in a year,
people were out on Sirianni. Mm-hmm. People thought the Philly defense could not be fixed. There were questions about Barkley. Wild to me that they are now an 8.5 point favorite week number one. Now, from a power rating standpoint, it makes sense. And Dallas just lost its best defensive player. But I think these two teams are tighter than 8 points. And that's with home field. I think my true number is, 6.9 in the game. So not far off, but my numbers would indicate that anything north of 7 is a decent bet. Not a great bet, not a lock, not a layup, none of that. But this number feels a little high because of a lot of variables around Philly. Well, they just won the championship. Now they're going to run it back. Now they're the number one team in football, Super Bowl favorite. That's all baked into the line, all of it.
Yeah, they went I was just looking at that game. It's against Washington, and they're down 17-0 in the second quarter. So that's when the Boo Birds came out on banner night following the Super Bowl. So I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, as far as should this be north of a touchdown, the Cowboys have their quarterback. You know, I know it's Parsons, but at least they got Kenny Clark on the other side. What you can say about Eberflus' defense is I'm not saying they're going to shut down Saquon, but that's what they're going to be geared up to do to try to limit him as much as possible. We've talked a lot about Saquon this offseason, almost 500 touches last season. The depth, I'm very concerned about the lack of depth. Now, I expect that to impact them later on in the year. Whether you talk about the D-line or the secondary, I'd point to the secondary even more. On the D-line, they lose Sweat. They lose Milton Williams. In the secondary, Slay, Gardner Johnson, Zay Rogers, Bryce Huff. There's a lot of bodies that are gone. And once those injuries start to set in, that could hurt them in the second half of the season. Now with a fresh Saquon, with the secondary that's rested and healthy, I'm not concerned about it tonight, but big picture, maybe a little bit later on. The Saquon number, 93.5 rushing yards, Sam. $1.85 for an anytime touchdown. We know the public's going to bet on Saquon. Are you considering anything with him?
No, I'm not. If I was looking at any props tonight, I would look at the Dak number for attempts because I do think I threw out 45 as a possibility. Now the number's 36.5, so I'm being a little dramatic given the fact that the market is hanging steady at 36.5, but that feels a little light. And if you go to your touchdown market, look at the market for first touchdown score. Look at the top 8 guys. A lot of Eagles on there, Joe. Yeah. A lot of Eagles on there. Okay. I'm just saying, if you're willing to take a Cowboy that you like, especially down the board, big old prices on Dallas guys to score the first touchdown of the game.
Okay, let me take a look because there is a Cowboy I like in the prop market. I was not thinking touchdown. I was thinking yardage. But now out of curiosity, I've got to take a look. See, look what you're doing to me. First touchdown, we've got 19-1, Jake Ferguson.
Ooh! Didn't take much. All you had to do was look.
19-1. That's the guy that I'm taking a look at tonight. 33.5 receiving yards. I like that. Eagles gave up the 7th most receiving yards to the tight end position. I think Dak's going to end up looking for him. If it's a blowout game, he's still probably going to rack up that yardage over the middle of the field throughout the game. So I think that's an interesting prop. I was looking at Lamb is low 70, 71 in the hook. Pickens, low number. Don't know what to expect. First game on the team, 53.5 for him. But I kind of gravitated towards Ferguson as far as that goes.
So I'm on the Lamb side. I'm a big Lamb guy. Lamb to score, I like at plus 150, plus 160. I think that's a good bet. Other books are plus 130. So plus 160 seems nice. Lamb first touchdown, 12-1.
Oh, hello. That's a good number. That's hello. A good – and an elite wide receiver one in this league? Oh, yeah. I like that. What's Dak? See, this is what happens.
Dak first touchdown is 50-1.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it. We'll also talk about Survivor. Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Survivor time. Oh, man. Week one is tough. I think we say that most weeks, but we think we know everything about these teams because we spend so many hours studying it and looking at it, and in some cases regurgitating what a lot of other people are saying. We don't know anything. That's the reality. That's why most years, like a lot of people point to last year in Survivor, like, oh, well, it was so crazy early on. That's every year. We don't know which teams are good. There are teams that are near the top of their division and they end up going to the basement and reverse it, right? It's a worst to first, first to worst league for a reason. We think we know about these teams. We have no idea. People thought Bo Nix was trash a year ago. We didn't know which rookie quarterbacks were going to be good. We have no idea this year. But that's the NFL. That's why we love it, and we love to bet on it. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network, also live on X, bet_sweats. Check us out on YouTube, betmgmnetwork.com. Takes you right to the Odyssey app. All right, we start with Survivor, and I didn't think tonight's game would be part of the conversation, but it feels like, Sam, it has to be. You quickly threw it out there before. Why don't you tell me the reaction that you were getting when you threw out Eagles? I'll just say that, you know, I've got a lot of spots to cover at the moment. Zero of them are on Philadelphia for a number of different reasons, even though they're right there next to Denver as far as the biggest favorite.
It's wild because I do like the Cowboys given the number. I think plus 8.5 is a decent bet tonight, which we've already talked about. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to win. And you do have many, many people that do Survivor that are good at Survivor telling me you got to save the Eagles. Not necessarily save them for the end of the season, like week 13, 14, 15 or whatever. But you have to save them because they're a Thanksgiving team and they play Chicago. Okay, fine. Understood. I've every year I've saved teams and mapped things out. I lose in the second week.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I've learned that I just need to kind of go with the flow as I do in life. People don't want to hear that, but that's fine. The one year I mapped out the entire season, and I've told this story many, many times, and you probably heard it 10 times now, but if somebody new is listening, I mapped out the entire season, and I did the grid, and I had my whole game plan. And then I lost week one on Jacksonville. Jacksonville beat Indy, and then Jacksonville proceeded to lose every game the rest of the way. So I have two specific examples where I mapped the entire season out and got knocked out. Also, last year we did two entries. Tell me how the Detroit Lions went 15-2, and I picked them week two, and they lost to Tampa. One of their two losses last year knocked me out of Survivor.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's
well, wasn't it's it a crazy. Few years ago? Jacksonville wins week one, kicks everybody out, and they don't win again?
Yeah, that's the year I'm talking about. It was either 2020 or 2021. They lost to they beat the Colts and then went 1-15. And I look back at the end of the year like, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. So the Philly pushback is real because people want to save Philly for either down the road or for Black Friday. They play the Bears Black Friday. I understand it. I just want to get through the first month, Joe. That's all I want to do, and then see what happens.
So I forgot that I have Survivor Rules saved on the Notes app. And I had to search it because I don't remember the last time I made any adjustments. I'll just rifle through them quickly. Just thing and look. I know half of these rules were put together because I was pissed after I got eliminated. I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. Well, you got to make a pick. And if you're like me and you have a number of entries, you probably have to pick a few different teams because you don't want it all on one team. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with some of this. All right. Rule number one, never divisional matchups. We've got a lot of divisional matchups coming up this week. We can go over that. Number two, never Jaguars. Well, we know why. Number three, don't fade Death Swag. Yeah, I was mad when Bears had a death and I took the bit. I went against the Bears with the Commanders game. That one was interesting. Might want to back a baby bump. Quarterback has a baby, probably going to have a big game. You might want to back that team, whether they're good or not. I said never Thursday night football. We have a Thursday night football game with a massive point spread tonight. Don't know if that really is relevant with the first game. Here's what's interesting. Split up picks. If you have multiple entries, split them up. I was probably mad that I lost multiple picks on a game. Don't overreact to depleted secondary. This one actually stood out to me as something to consider because a lot of times with injuries, sometimes we go too far. And like with the Parsons move, we're probably going too far with the point spread. How much it's moved in favor of Green Bay, how much it's moved away from Dallas in this game tonight. And so I find that interesting. Fade show consensus. I mean, consensus and fading the consensus in general is a good idea. So that was some of them. Divisional matchup, Sam, let's start there. Tonight's a divisional matchup. Washington, New York Giants, 6-point spread, divisional matchup. Cincinnati, Cleveland, numbers 5, divisional matchup. San Francisco, Seattle, Green Bay, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, a few others. A lot of divisional matchups to start the year.
I think we're going to have the number one pick be Denver. That's probably going to be where most people line up. And I saw some projections yesterday. I know Gertsch sent us a tweet in the Ramley thread that the projected number has Denver being the highest of all the entries. Denver probably number one. There it is, Survivor Atlas. So their projections, and again, these are projections, Denver 32%, Arizona 24%, Washington 13%, Cincy 9%, Philly 9%. Philly only 9%? That's where I was coming from. My initial thought was Philly. And nobody wants to take Philly. You know me, though, Joe. That makes me like Philly even more. So I think if I had to power rate them, I would go probably Philly number one, Jacksonville number two. No Jags, though. I know. I'm surprised your list of Survivor strategy didn't have number one pick a winner like GRP does.
That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite clips that's out there that you can find on Twitter. GRP on, and he's giving his rules on win Survivor.
Commandments.
He's never won Survivor. He's never come close to winning Survivor. He didn't enter Survivor, but the number one rule is pick a winner. Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
I have 4 commandments on Survivor. Number one, pick a winner. You lost it. Lost it last
year. That's a good one. Yep.
And remember, we had him on after week one. We had him on after week one. And in week two, he liked the Bears. And he had the new Bears hat on with the tag on the back hanging out of the side. It was awesome. Awesome.
Yes, it was. Okay, so another good resource, SurvivorGrid.com. And if you go there, what they do is for every team, they put star, like a future value on it. And they give 3 stars to Philadelphia. So I'm looking at other spots. The Giants, they get in week 6 and week 8. So maybe thinking you might want to need them there. You mentioned if you play Circa, why you would want to say Philadelphia. And also week 15, they're in very early double-digit favorite against Vegas in Philadelphia. they don't have the most future value, but there's a good amount of spots where you would want to take them. You know, the Giants won divisional matchup, but maybe the Raiders spot, we don't know how good they're going to be. Maybe Chicago, as you mentioned in week 13, there's a decent amount of future value. I'll just say this, like, I'm not off of Philly tonight because of the divisional matchup. I'm off of Philly tonight because Dak is healthy, because Dak has weapons. Now, the run game sucks, and it's probably going to suck all year. But, you know, all the noise of Banner Night, I'm just not interested in taking Philly in Survivor. And I'm with the consensus. I know it's not like 50%, and I hate that I'm there. Denver makes the most amount of sense.
Sure.
We got the highest point spread. At home early in the year, they dominate. Dealing with elevation, rookie quarterback, Titans awful, worst ATS record in the year. They'll be better, but I don't think it's going to change that much. We just need them to win. And you got a rookie quarterback making his debut against maybe the best defense in the NFL. So, I mean, Denver's the best play. I mean, I'm going to have most spots on the Denver Broncos.
Okay. The issue with Denver in these massive pools, when you have 20,000 people in a pool potentially, like in Circa, you need to avoid the most popular side because you're not going to win ideally if you're on the number one side. So it's very difficult. Like if you're in a pool with 100 people, sure, you could go Denver. But if you're in a pool with a $20 million pot potentially, it's difficult to get to Denver only because you have so many people you have to navigate. What's up, Paul?
No, so with this, and I had the same thought on Denver, but like this early, don't you, it's not as much
it's spread
of a factor.
Out.
You
it's
can't
out.
Win this week. You can't win. Like, if Denver goes out and you avoid them, you still got a hell of a mountain to climb. So, like, in general, yes. And I've been not wanting to take Denver this week for part of that reason. I also think the Titans might be a little more frisky than I'd like to believe. But, like, I was having this conversation with Dan yesterday. We split an entry. And it's like, I kind of was coming around on Denver. It's like, all right, we can't win this week. Even if we were to go with, like, let's say in Arizona and 30% of the pool goes out on Denver, there's still thousands and thousands of people in the pool.
There's one result that would floor me in the NFL this week. Only one. It's the Titans going to Denver and winning. I would be surprised. So would I wouldn't be floored if the Cowboys won tonight. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
I wanted to go Niners. Yeah. I came in Niners hot, Eagles hot. Nope. Nope. All right. Here we go.
I think it's a large point spread, but if we can get to it, Arizona has almost no future value. And they're a 6.5-point favorite against Spencer Rattler. I think that's a strong pick as well. So I would put them in my top two. Joe O, Sammy P, bunch of great guests next hour, Ian Harditz. But next, Shea and Irving on his Cowboys, the BetMGM Network.